Welcome to Christ Church International's podcast. We are a faith-filled, spirit-filled gathering of believers living for the dream of Jesus. Souls from every nation, one at a time. We are based out of northern Colorado in a beautiful and vibrant city called Longmont. Come join us as we proclaim Jesus is Lord to our generation. Our key verse for this year is Hebrews 9:11. Jesus has become the high priest of good things to come for you.
I believe you're ready for the word today. I believe it. We're going to get it. Praise the Lord. Father, thank you for your word. And Lord, we thank you that your word will not return void. It'll accomplish that which you please and purpose. It'll prosper to the thing that you sent it. Father, we're grateful and thankful that the word of God is like a hammer. It breaks the rock in pieces. We're thankful that the word of God will, Father God, it will accomplish all. Father, it'll produce faith in our hearts. Father, it'll bring light into our lives. Father, we're thankful that it'll show us where we're missing it. Where we've failed, well, we've faltered, and it'll fashion us into the image of the living Word himself. And so I thank you for an impartation of the Word today into our lives. And Father, I thank you as we leave this place, we'll leave differently than we've come in. Yes. And we thank you, Father, for a deposit that the Spirit of God will make from the Word of God into our hearts and lives today, fashioning and molding us, forming us, and transforming us into the nature of Jesus, and I thank you for it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, if you'll open your Bibles, please, we're going to start in Acts chapter 1, and then we're going to end up in the Old Testament for quite some time this morning. And so I hope that you're ready to go with me there. If you didn't bring your Bible, the book of Acts, they'll show it up here. If you're new to the Bible, if you go to the New Testament, you'll find Acts after the Gospels. In chapter 1, Jesus is speaking. He's getting ready to depart the fix. He's getting ready to depart the earth and to go back to heaven. You know, people are so goofy. They just are. Jesus alone, he's the only human who ever came from heaven. He wasn't, of course, God, but I mean, he's God, but he came to the earth, lived a life as a human, and then went back. You didn't start in heaven and come to the earth, and you're going back. That's pop culture. That's pop theology. That's wrong. That's one of the reasons, Christians, we value life. Because you and your married partner, of course it can happen without a married partner, but together, husband, wife, male and female, together with God, make an eternal being. You need to understand that. That's why we honor marriage. That's why Christians honor marriage. Because what's happening in that union is an eternal being is being made.
Yeah, that's right.
Or the possibility of it. Uh-huh. See what I'm saying? Uh-huh. And so it's we need to understand that. Well, at any rate, Jesus came from the Father, took the form of human flesh, and my. Paid our sin at the cross. And when he was done, resurrected, you know the story. Then he was here at the earth and he was telling his guys goodbye, giving them last words. And in verse 7 he says this, "It is not for you to know the times and seasons." Of course they wanted to know. We just better back up here a little bit, huh? I suppose. Verse 3, "To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion," that means his suffering, "by many infallible proofs, being seen by them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he says, 'You've heard from me.' For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And when they were therefore come together, they asked him, saying, 'Lord, Will you show us at this time or restore to us the kingdom of, to Israel? And he said, listen, guys, it's not for you to know the times and the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Friends, Jesus wants his people baptized in the Holy Spirit for a number of reasons. It's God's plan to clothe his people with power, character, and boldness to face the world and to win the world. That's what it's all about. It's not so we can come to church and have goosebumps. Woo-hoo-hoo, God was here. I mean, that's fine when that happens. But he did it to clothe you with power, with his character, and with a boldness to witness for Christ. And not only to witness, but to win them. Now, okay. All right. Let's turn. We're going to go to the Old Testament. The Lord has really challenged us. When Pastor Daniel was here last year, I really appreciate Matthew catching this. And Matthew, of course, had been with him in Nepal for a while. And, you know, after a month in Nepal, you start to get the flavor of it, don't you? You know. I know when I was there 10 days, it was one thing, but it was another thing when I was there 30 days. You start to get a flavor of it. At any rate, they spent so much time together, it was good. And, you know, Daniel, we over the years we've known him, we've seen that God's given him vision after, you know, increase. And I don't know how many times he's got to 100 churches, and then, of course, starts all over again. He started all over again, but they're planning a church of 1,000, believing God to give them a church of 1,000. And that really stirred something up in Matthew. And I said, you know what? And Matthew had a verse. I thought, you know what? That's right. That's right. We've been a ministry for so long of hidden ministry. And that's okay. It's all right. It's who we are. It's what we are. It's what we've been. But we're starting a new chapter, a new book, so to speak. And God has some good things for us. And so out of that, we're believing for 400. We believe we have the Spirit. Be 400 by the year 2019. Now, to do that, we need a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It's not enough to just have a key, guys, that we can use this little script and win people to Christ. You know, it's the Spirit himself that will have to gather people and draw people, but we have a part to play. And it's not enough for us to share it with people. Now, there'll be a lot of these people that we witness to, and they come to Christ, and we'll never see them again. I understand how that works. But I also know that we're responsible for these people. On some level, we're responsible. Jesus didn't say, just go win them. He said, I want you to disciple them. And, you know, we could even take that a whole other step. I think Lauren Cunningham with YWAM has an amazing understanding. Of course, he's got, 25,000 people around the world preaching the gospel with YWAM. I think they have 2,000 or 2,500 bases around the world preaching the gospel. It is amazing, guys. It's really amazing. And he says we're not only supposed to disciple people. We've always heard, oh, yeah, we're supposed to disciple nations as in people groups, as in people. He says, no, let's disciple nations. Did you know the Great Awakening in America in the 1700s discipled our forefathers, and we ended up having a godly America? Do you understand that our fathers now, if I can say our fathers, they're our leaders now, are doing everything they can to run away from God and to do everything they can. I tell you what, guys, judgment is racing toward us as a nation unless God gives us a great awakening, unless the church repents. So I really want to encourage you to get those things Matthew was talking about in your heart, because the curses are coming. Because we have rejected God and we have flaunted our righteousness as a nation. And the judgment of God is racing to America. So we ought to be praying, shouldn't we? Yeah. So the good news is this. I'm not going to fall under judgment, but I want you to know something. As Christians, if America falls under judgment, we will be impacted. Why do you think unemployment is so high? I read an article this week. 1 out of 6 men who are age of work are out of job. Guys, that's not 7% unemployment.
No.
That's closer to 15, 16, 17% unemployment. Guys, you need to understand this. What you're being told by the media is a lie for their own reasons. Yeah. Now, so what's that? Mark, Give us some good news. We'll get there just like Matthew. He gave us the bad news. Well, here comes the good news. Israel sowed in the year of famine and received a hundredfold return. We need to understand that if that's one of the reasons the tithe is so critical to your life. Because the tithe literally takes you out of the domination of this world system and puts you on another financial basis. That's what it does. It puts you in a position that God says, you've been faithful to me, I'm going to be faithful to you. And he can be faithful to you if the whole thing goes south. We just need to understand it. God's God, whether there's a good economy or not. Yeah. Matter of fact, the Bible tells me, Isaiah saw it. He said, the rule and the reign of his kingdom, there is no end. Yeah, that's right. The increase, it says, of his government, there shall be no end. Our present leaders, both Republican and Democrat, think that they can tax people without problem and they can continue to increase. It's not going to happen. What did I say? You know, you can only get so much blood out of a turnip. But the kingdom of God will increase forever and ever. And when we get to the end out there, he's going to go, oh yeah, and he's going to breathe a little more, and the thing's going to expand out again for however long. Better think about it. Okay, now, that was all free. Praise the Lord. So now we remember, as we were talking about the 400, and I shared that with you a couple weeks ago, and we remember Jacob and how Jacob, he put all these stakes in front of his the flocks, and they began to turn striped and spotted and speckled, and the wealth of his crooked uncle drained away from the uncle and came to Jacob's life. Now, we remember we said that, you know, those stakes were... didn't affect the animals by just putting the stakes out there physically. It was Jacob's faith that caused that thing to transpire and God to pour that wealth in him. He believed the blessing of God, and the blessing of God produced the wealth in him, transferred the wealth. Now, remember, those sheep, those cattle, were just as dumb as they are. Going down to get something to drink and looking at those things, that didn't produce it. It was Jacob's faith. Now, here's the thing. What those goats and sheep and cattle were seeing, they turned into. It literally changed. Yeah, it did. Now, listen to me, guys. Whatever you continually put before your eyes is eventually going to show up in your life. Whatever you're looking at, whatever you're meditating on, whatever your focus is in life, it's eventually going to show up in your life. If all you do is look at fear, fear is going to haunt your life. If all you do is talk about with all the old folks at coffee, all the sicknesses and diseases they've got, guess what's going to show up in your life? What you focus on is what's going to show up in your life. That's why I'm trying to get 400 in front of you. It's not magic. It's not hocus pocus. What happens is you begin to grow a vision. You begin to get pregnant with a vision. What's happening in our church right now is we're beginning to find out we can win souls. We can win souls. Wow. There's some people I've prayed for so long, I can't wait till I see them. I'm not a phone guy, so I'm not going to call them on the phone. I get tongue-tied enough in front of you, let alone on the phone. Not doing it. You say, well, what? If the Lord tells me, I will, but he hasn't told me. But I got some people targeted. Okay? All right. Proverbs 4:20 says, my son, attend to my word. Incline your ear to my sayings. Incline. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For out of your heart, friends, is the issue of life. That's why what you put in front of your eyes is what will manifest ultimately in your life. Okay, I'm going to get 400 in front of you. Now, turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 22, and we'll read that again. 1 Samuel 22. Matthew and I are talking about some of the faith conferences. You guys have been down to the Believer's Voice of Victory, the Southwest Conference. And when they turn to a verse, it's like this, isn't it? Yep. Everybody's turning. Say, well, I got my electronic Bible. Well, turn on the sound so I know that you're punching in something. All right. Okay. Chapter 22. And therefore David departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down there to him. And everyone who was in distress, you don't need to raise your hand, but if you're in distress, he says, everyone who was in debt, you know, please don't raise your hands. And everyone who was discontented gathered themselves to him. First off, I'm surprised that there's only 400 who showed up. That says everyone who was in debt, everyone who was discontented, only 400 show up, but it says everyone. So Israel must have been doing pretty good. Oh, well, that's just a thought. I don't know how that works. And David became a captain over them. And there were with him about 400 men. So you want to know, this is how we work the promises of God. God gives us a word like this, and he makes it alive to you, and we're trying to make it alive to you now. And that's the same thing. I was wondering what in the world we were going on in our life. I thought that maybe God was going to send us overseas. We put our house up for sale, the house sold, and then it didn't seem like he was opening those doors that we thought he was going to open. And I was reading in Jeremiah one day, and there it was. I saw it. I could take you there and tell you the whole story. I've told you too many times probably already, but it was on that verse out of Jeremiah, I think 32 or 33, something like that. I knew we were supposed to buy a piece of property and build a house, and on that verse we did. And I still have people sometimes say, why are you planting another tree? I said, yeah, because the Lord didn't tell me not to stop. Yeah. He said, build gardens and plant vineyards. I'm still buying vineyards. I tell you, I'm still doing it because he said to. And I built a house on that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Patty and I built a house, and some of you did as well. I tell you, every day after work, David would get up and come help me after he worked at school all day long. He'd come help me. I saw many of you helped as well. I appreciate that so much. God was faithful, but you were participating in a promise of God. That's what you have to do for your life. You have to find those promises, and it's not a matter of going, what can I find? It's a matter of you spending time in this book, and the Spirit of God will whisper a verse to you, and it'll leap off the page, and you go, that's it. That's my answer. But it won't be just an answer. Now you've got to work it. Now you've got to do something. You see, the Holy Spirit's empowerment is not just so I'm like Christ. The Holy Spirit's empowerment so I'll be bold and do something. Okay, so we've got to do something, not just, oh, I'm like Jesus, Shondai. I'm like Jesus, sing a few songs. No, the Word of God and the Spirit of God will empower you to do something. Okay, so here we are. Now, let me just say this to you. Discontented ones, in debt ones, what else? Distressed. We've all been there. Some of you are there right now. So the fact is, we don't want to stay the way we are. We want something to take place so that we don't have to stay here. We can move on to what God has for us. We can move from the curses part of Deuteronomy 28 to the blessing part of 28. And, you know, I like Deuteronomy 28. You ought to take Matthew's word and his advice and just go read it. And I tell you, the last bunch is just terrible. I mean, it is horrid. And what I like about it, how many verses? 70 verses? 80 verses? Something like that? 90-some? Wow, whatever. However many, I like this. All those curses are overbalanced by 14 blessings.
Yeah.
14 verses of blessings. Overbalance, how many?
68.
Wow. Okay, so now. We don't want to leave the way we came. That's one of my prayers. Lord, when I come to church, I don't want to leave the way I came in. It's incremental. It's often just little by little, but I don't want to leave the way I came. I want something to happen. I want some, as I'm singing, as I'm worshiping, as I'm fellowshipping with you, I want something to be transferred. I want some kind of help. I want to leave here differently. I want to leave here encouraged. I want to leave here envisioned. I want something of God to be imparted into my life so I can be different. My wife says, amen, he needs to be different. And like Matthew said, we don't need therapy the rest of our lives.
That's right.
We don't need it. You know, one of the things the Lord said to us years ago, he said, if you stick, you'll be healed.
Right.
What I discovered is people don't want to stick.
No.
You know, here's the thing. Out of these 400 men who are in debt, and they were distressed, and they were discontent, they came to David, and a tenth of them became mighty men. So what happened to the rest of them? Well, I'll get there. You see, there's a process we face in being changed and becoming mighty men or mighty women of God. Now, let me tell you, I've talked about this a little bit in the past, but recently even, but I'm going to just share this with you. So there's this thing called soulishness. Now, a Christian, you are a three-part person, just like the Trinity in a sense. I mean, but here it is, you're a spirit, you are a spirit being. By the way, you're a speaking spirit being.
Yes, that's right.
It's important what you speak, because like God, what he says comes to pass, what you speak comes to pass too. And this is not a teaching on spirit, soul, and body today, but you're a spirit and you possess a soul. That's your emotions, that's your mind, that's your will, it's your intellect. And tied into that is how you relate to people socially. And that's the part that's really broken.
Mm-hmm.
You're broken in your soul, not your spirit. Your spirit is either dead or it's alive unto God. When you get born again, when you ask Christ to come into your life, what happens is that inner man, that spiritual man, is born again and you become like Christ immediately in your spirit man. The problem is your soul. The problem is your thinking. The problem is your habits. The problem is the way you've programmed your brain. See what I'm saying? And then, of course, you live in a body. And one of these days, this body is going to be laid down like a cloth and folded up. And we'll get a new one at the resurrection. We'll get into some of this later in the year as we teach the foundation series. But, you know, when you go to heaven, if you die today, you're not going to get a new body today. No, you're not. That comes at the resurrection. The resurrection is down the road a ways. Now, I don't understand how that works. Well, you know who people are when you get to heaven? Yeah, but they don't have their new bodies yet. Okay. I didn't mean to stir all that up. And no, you're not some ghost floating around either, but nevertheless, we'll get to all that. So you want to hang out to find out the answers to these things, don't you? All right. So here's what happens is when you walk, it's in my life, and oh my, and he's coming. One of these people is coming into my life here real soon. John Kuhn's coming in a couple weeks, and he'll be here with us, and he's coming to visit a friend who's in hospice in Denver, and he's coming to visit him and I think say his goodbyes and minister life to him. And John says, can I stay with you? And I said, well, John, you never need to ask, oh, God, why is he coming to my house? Because what happens is when John comes into my life, it's like all of my soulishness just falls out on the table. It's like being around Dr. Savelle. Why did I say that? That's a stupid... Have you know what I'm talking about? Now, this is the problem. This is the problem what happens with people. Is, you see, when that happened with me with John so many years ago, he He actually moved to Longmont with a friend. He and his wife came with a friend and his wife. And I knew the friend, and so I met John, and we became fast friends. Patty and I weren't married at that time. We were becoming fast friends. And so John came in my life, and it was like, every time I was this guy, it was like he took a knife out and just stabbed me all over. It was absolutely horrible. But you know something, guys? Now, here's the key. Listen. See, some of you happen, you come into church, and I upset you, and you go, that guy, I'm just not going to come back to church anymore. What's happening is this. I'm your John Cone.
Yep. Yeah.
Now, here's the thing. Here's the thing, guys. When you come around someone like that, you need to embrace them. Because what's happening is God is allowing them to show the darkness in your life so that you can walk into the light and be free. And what happens is we go, oh, I don't like that, and we stay away from it. No, no, no. Embrace it. Yay, John's coming. I mean, I've been around Dr. Savelle enough to know as soon as I get around that guy, it happened this last time when we were down in Texas. I saw him, said something stupid, came out of my mouth. I went, well, it's not that he pushes a button and causes something. What happens is he's just walking in a certain measure of light. And what happens is when you get around that light, your soulishness just kind of goes, ha, here I am. It's not that it was hiding. It's always there. Because that's who you are. You just get around light and it kind of goes, woo-hoo. You go, oh, I embarrassed myself again. And really, it wasn't much embarrassment. It's just that that's how you feel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because men of God, they love you in spite of all your bah. Just like my wife loves me with all of my blah. Does she love you with all of your blah? Yeah. Isn't it amazing? Better just lean over there and kiss her on the cheek. Mwah. You see, I mean, if you're sitting next to your wife, you just better just kiss her on the cheek, because she loves you in spite of all your blah. All right, so now that that's settled, here's the deal. Here it is. Here's how we go from becoming 400 distressed, in debt, and troubled guys, and ladies as well, to mighty men. I want to be a mighty man for Jesus.
Amen.
Or mighty woman, in case may be. Here it is. First thing is you got to make a right choice.
Yeah.
You got to make a right choice. I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to follow Jesus. You know what? I want to make a point to hang out with light. Even when it's uncomfortable. Now, you remember the story. Now, in 1 Samuel chapter 30. And now there are 600 men with David. It's been some time. And they've been through a lot together. They've been through fights, battles, conquests. They've just been through a lot together. And they come back to their base, and you remember what happened. All their wives and children and stuff had been stolen by the Amalekites, I believe. There's a terrible moment. Terrible. David's wondering what to do, and what's worse is now, says the people are starting to think about stoning him. Man, I followed you, and now my wife's gone, and my kids are gone, and all of my wealth is gone, David. Well, David, it says, he encouraged himself in the Lord, and he went to the priest that they had with him, and he got a word from the Lord, and he knew that he could go get his stuff back. And so it says, of the 600, only 400 went. You know who I believe the 400 were? The first 400. They'd been through it. They understood that if they followed David, that they would come out champions. It was the 200, I believe, probably even the ones talking about stoning it. They're the ones who were too tired to go get their own families. They were still a bunch of wusses. They weren't mighty men. Those 400, something had happened to them. They weren't all mighty men. I tell you what, they were on their way. That's my take on that verse. But so what are some of the characteristics that turned up in these in debt, discontented and distressed men that turned them into mighty men? Let's turn now to 2 Samuel. Oops, a little far. 2 Samuel. Toward the very end of the book, chapter 24. Excuse me, chapter 23. Now, if you read in 2 Samuel and you read in Chronicles, you'll find two different things. I found 37 mighty men here, and I found in Chronicles 48. And so that's like a tenth who became extraordinary. I don't want to leave the way I came in. See, these guys, now here it is. We're going to look at this verse by verse. My, this is something. Are you ready? Mm-hmm. All right. Whew. Okay. Can someone quote for me Daniel 11, is it 32 or 33b? What a team. Those that know their God. Those that know their God. Say that. Those who know their God. Those who know their God. Some of you don't know God. You just know about Him. Those that know their God will be strong. Abraham was, Romans 4, strong in what? In faith. Giving glory to God. So we can be strong in faith. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. If you're not strong in faith, you can become strong in faith.
That's right. Yeah.
They that know their God will be strong and do exploits. All right. Wow. Okay. Oh, man. Okay, here we go. These are the names, verse 8, of the mighty men whom David had. So he begins to name the mighty men. And I like it in verse 9. It says, and after him will Eleazar, the son of Dodiah, and the Hohite, one of the three mighty men with David when they defied the Philistines. Okay. Let's just stop there a minute. You want to become a mighty man? At some point, you've got to defy sin. At some point, you've got to defy sickness. At some point, you've got to defy the devil. You say, you're not going to run over my family anymore.
That's right.
I mean, at some point, you've got to defy the devil.
Yeah.
Yep. You just got to do it.
Yeah.
Well, you just got to do it. Yeah, come on, man. Now, I know we're not supposed to be fighters, but lovers. But you know what? At some point, you've got to be a man. The Apostle Paul told Timothy, I think it was Timothy or it was Titus, one of the two. They were young men anyway. He said, act like a man. You tell me, just talk to you young men in this church. Don't you act like a little girl. Don't you be effeminate. Don't you wag your little bottom. Walk like a man. Well, come on. That's the spirit in this age, not in my house.
That's right. That's right.
Act like a man. Now, ladies, the scripture is good to you too. Act like a man. So, you know, I don't. Okay, you know the scripture. I remember my dad was alive and I was his pastor. That was tough.
Yeah.
It's tough to pastor your dad because you got to be his shepherd, and you got to be his elder, and yet he's your elder, and you got to honor him. And so I like what Paul says. He says, if you have to rebuke an elder, you know, do it like you would your father's. And you go, how in the world do you do that? With a lot of grace.
Yeah.
So ladies, you got to be a man like a lady. I don't know how to tell you to do that. That's why the scripture says you need to let the elder ladies lead you and show you how to be a woman of God. All right, now. There's just sometimes you got to stand up. You got to tell the devil, no more. No more curse over my life. And then they were there gathered for battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. So it's interesting. See, all these other guys at one point left, but not this guy. No. David, you and me, come on. Phyllis, come on. I'm with David. Okay, guys, all right. And then it says, oh my, here's this guy. He arose and smote the Philistines. That's King James, I apologize. Smote, killed the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand adhered to the sword. Okay, I remember when I was in college working for the Longmont Sewer and Water Department, they had put me on the jackhammer all day. Thank you very much, old guys. But I would come home at night, and my hands were like this. And it wasn't until the middle of the night my hands would start to open up, and they're just like this. Add this to the fact that you've got a sword by the hilt, and you've killed so many people that their blood has now coagulated all over your hand in that sword. Let me tell you something, guys. You got to take the Word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit, and you have to take this thing, and you have to use this thing, regardless of what your body says, regardless of what your money says. The promises of God are true, and I'm not letting go of the promises of God.
That's right.
See, some of you don't act like a man. You're a wussy. You're a sissy, and I'm sorry. I know that's politically incorrect today, but at some point you've got to say, God's word is true, and my circumstances are lying to me. I know, guys. I've been through this. My body is hurt like yours. My finances have been in a shambles like yours. But I want you to know, if you stand on the Word of God, God's Word will work for you.
Yes.
But you've got to say, I will not let go of this. Though everything else in my life fail, I'll not let go of this. Job said it this way, though you slay me, because he didn't have a right understanding of God. God was not trying to kill him. But he said, even if you do, I'll not let go of you.
That's right.
That's what he said. So why isn't it working for me? Because you won't take hold of God's word and believe it, sir.
Right. Come on.
Okay. I'm calming down. Woo! Okay. All right. Then he says, man, his head. And says, the Lord worked a great victory. You want a great victory? You got to hang on to the word of God. When all else looks like it's failing, you take the precious promises of God and hold on to them. And then he says this, the Lord worked a great victory. So you've got to hang on to the promises. God will work the victory.
Amen.
Yeah, I don't know how. The farmer says, he sows the seed and it comes up and it produces a harvest. It says, Mark chapter 4, he knoweth not how.
Yeah.
I don't need to know how. I know that God will. And then it says this, and the people returned after him only to spoil. Romans 8:37 says that in Christ we are more than conquerors. And we've talked about that word here, hupernikeo. My Greek scholar friend says hepernikeo. I'm sorry. hepernikeo. It means you're an overcomer.
Yep, that's right.
And it means more than an overcomer. It means an overcomer who not only overcomes, but spoils, brings back spoils.
Yeah.
So when you've been in a fight with the devil and he's stolen something from you, you can believe God to not only get that back, but in such a way that you've got spoils. Now let me tell you something. This guy was a barrier breaker. Because all those people who left him and David to do the fighting came back to get the spoils because he broke through. Some of you need to become barrier breakers for the rest of us.
Yes.
And then, ho-ho, don't get mad at those who come back and start eating the spoils because of your fight. Because you won the victory, and others are going, yes, we won 500 people this year to Christ. You didn't, you just, yeah, praise the Lord, we did win 500, didn't we? See what I'm saying? Don't. When someone else God, you know what I had to do to believe God for that property and that house? And they just walk in and just God did something. It was just like, well, you know what? It's okay. You got, you're the barrier breaker. You knock down the wall so someone else can come after you. You're a mighty man. This, you didn't know all that was in here, did you? This is just so awesome. This is pregnant with the word. And then after him was another guy. And it said together, they gathered together a troop and they were a plot of beans. And the people fled from the Philistines. And he stood in the center of the plot of ground, a little acre or two, and defended it. And he slew the Philistines, killed the Philistines, and the Lord again worked a great victory. Mm-hmm. Jesus. You know, friends, my time is really racing. But you remember Abraham, he was called to cut covenant with God, and God says, I want you to cut covenant. And they understood what covenant was. We don't understand what covenant is anymore. And but he cut covenant, and he had all these animals cut out and laid out. And it used to be, if a man was going to make covenant, Bob, come here, my brother, and we would cut all these animals apart, whoosh, slit their throats, cut them all up, and then we would lay all these animals out. And then we would go through that together. This isn't the way, but, you know. We would walk through that together, and while we walked through these dead animals and blood everywhere, we would bless one another. Mm-hmm. My brother, all that I have is yours except my wife.
Everything I have is yours.
Yeah, that's exactly. I mean, all of my possessions is yours, and all my weapons and all of my abilities is yours. And he would say the same thing. And then we would walk through it again, and we would say, and now if you break this covenant, all these curses will come on your life. Mm-hmm. Even your children will chase you down and kill you if you break your covenant with me. That's pretty serious stuff. Man, it's good to have sons serving the Lord, isn't it?
It is good.
Praise God. Okay, all right. So that's what this is about, you see. And Abraham, well, he was waiting for God to show up. And God did show up. Like a burning, smoking furnace, and walk through that stuff with him. Read the story. Yeah. But while he was waiting, this vulture started to come down. They were gonna defile. And at some point, guys, the devil's gonna come. And Mark chapter 4 again says, as soon as the word is preached, the fowls of the air come and try and steal it out of your heart. Some of you will leave here and go, I didn't get a thing out of that. I didn't get anything. The devil just stole the word of God that could change your life out of your heart. Okay, so Abraham chased those birds off. Shoot, get out. Throwing rocks at them. You know what? Some of you, if you'd defend me the way that Abraham defended that, I tell you what, you'd be blessed by this pastor. Amen. Oh. Huh. Don't talk about my needing a haircut. Well, you ought to say, man, what a preacher. I get so much light when I get in Mark's presence. Some of you might go, oh, okay, I'll say that by faith, Pastor. Well, that's okay. That's perfectly fine. Calling things that are not as though they are. You know, just adjusting yourself so that you receive light. And that's what he did. Defended that property, and God worked a great victory. Oh my, oh, how about this? Verse 14, and David was then in a stronghold in the garrison of the Philistines, was then in Bethlehem, and David longed. You know the story, he longed. Oh, I want a drink of water from that well I grew up in. Oh, so, you know, guys, there is no water in the state like Longmont's got.
That's right.
Except one place, and it's better. It's Trinidad. My hometown.
Yeah.
There's no water like the water coming out of the Purgatory River. There's just something about it. It's awesome. So David was longing for a drink of water from his hometown. Yeah. Let me ask you a question. You know Jesus is dreaming? And David's three mighty men, these guys, I tell you. Matter of fact, through the whole thing, if you read this whole thing, it says over and over, well, this guy was a great and mighty man, and he was well known, and he was equal with these guys, but he never could break into the three. You know why? Because these three fulfilled the dream of David. You want to be a mighty man that breaks into that inner circle? You want to be the Peter, the James, and the John? You want to be the John that Jesus lays his head upon, or you can lay your head upon Jesus' breast? Fulfill his dream. Say, Jesus, what is your dream for my life? I want, Lord God, I want to fulfill your dream. I want to be a mighty man who makes your heart happy fulfilling your dream, not my own dream. God wants your dreams answered. He wants to bless you. But those who are going to be in that elite are going to be the ones who say, Jesus, I want your dream. I want your heart happy. Lord, give me the nations as my inheritance, because that's what the Father said to you. And I want to be able to present the nations to you as your inheritance, Lord. I tell you what, oh, Jesus, that makes his heart happy. It seems that those three mighty men, probably every time David saw him, he thought of that water. Of course, he poured it out, you know that. He wouldn't drink it. It was precious to him. Let's just go on. I've got to race here. And here's another guy in verse 18. Abishai, the brother of Joab, and he, it says, man, he killed, what, how many, 300 with a spear? And it says, and he won a name among the three. But see, he didn't break into the three. Then it says this, was he not the most honorable among the three? Therefore, he became their captain. So this guy became a captain of the three. The word honorable, let me just read this to you. I hope I can read it. I wrote it in a pencil in my Bible, some of the synonyms for honorable, and I don't know that I can read my own writing now. Listen to this, and let's just, as we read it, let's ask ourselves this question. Am I a man or a woman who is honorable? Is that a fair question? Am I honorable? And so, see, you're going to have to be if you're going to be a mighty man. You're going to have to be if you're a mighty woman. And so here are some of the synonyms. Honest. Uh-oh. Moral, ethical, principled, righteous, right-minded, decent, respectable, virtuous, good, upstanding, noble, fair, just, true, trustworthy. Uh-oh. Respectable, reliable, oh my, dependable, and credible. Do you know a person can tell if you're credible by an instant look the first time they meet you? They'll make a judgment on you whether you're reliable or not. I want to be found as an honorable man. We'll pick on the car salesman, you know, the used car salesman with two different kinds of plaid shirt and pants. And if you sold cars, I apologize. I'm not trying to pick on them. It's just everybody, that's kind of the mindset we have, that you know that they're trying to con you, trying to take you, trying to get you into something you can't afford, trying to, you know the deal. And I know there's righteous car salesmen. But you know what? You just know, man, this guy's trying to take me. As a Christian, you shouldn't have anybody wondering if you're really a Christian or not. You should be a Christian because you're a Christian. You should live like a Christian because that's how Christians live. Honorable. Wow, wow, wow. Well, let's go on or I'm not going to get done. Oh, my. This one guy, he killed two men, sons of Ariel. Well, Ariel is a Hebrew word for lion. And you know something, guys? The Bible says that the devil roams around like a lion, seeking whom he may devour. And you know, guys, at some point, you need to learn how to stand up to the devil. You need to learn how to use the name of Jesus against some of these things that are coming against you. Mm-hmm. I'll tell a story that you might laugh at, but it's kind of fresh. I wish it were a really dramatic story. It's not a very dramatic story. But My wife lost her phone this week. And she's, you know, she's called you, I think, and called others. Oh, where's my phone? Would you look? I've looked everywhere. She's looked everywhere. Now, ultimately, Joshua ended up, he came and said, Mom, he said, I want to get involved in this. What kind of deal can we work if I spend some time looking for your phone? Well, he had it in his back pocket, you know, because he'd already found it. I said, Patty, I heard this going on, and I said, he's already found it, Patty. Don't buy the con. Wow. It was good natured. But before that happened, I lost my phone, and it happened 3 times in the same day. And I never lose my phone. I thought, something's up. Now, I'm not superstitious, but I understand the spiritual realm, and there are little demons.
Yep.
Who are, whatever they are, I mean, they're not the big guys. You have to, you know, they're just these little things and stuff happens. You know, in my Irish heritage, it would be a little leprechaun, you know, or a little fairy doing something they shouldn't be doing. I'm not saying, okay. Okay, yeah. Oh, man. I just, but at any rate, and about the third time that happened, I said, all right, in the name of Jesus, stop this, and I want my phone back. It wasn't 2 minutes. I had my phone back, and he's coming down with your phone. I thought, So, guys, it works. A story from years ago, I've mentioned it. At some point, I remember I was on staff at a church. I was also an elder. I don't know how you can be an elder when you're like 20, you know. But I was, and I was a youth pastor, and I remember we were meeting with the in this church. Quite an amazing group of folks. Somebody from Calvary Chapel, the Calvary Chapel, was an elder. That was John. And then we had a guy who had been part of the discipleship movement, right under Don Basham and Derek Prince. These names may not mean anything to some of you. Then we had there were a couple. Then we had our pastor at that time. He was they called him the next Jack Van Impe, because he was a fundamental Baptist who got filled with the Spirit. So, whoop, there went that title. And I was there. It was just an amazing group of men. And we were sitting there, and except for me. I was not a man at that time. I was just a little kid. But, you know, I was like, what am I doing here? But anyway, we were there, and the church finances just took a dive. This was back in the charismatic days when you said, we're having a church, and boom, you'd have 200 people just like that. Church finances took a dive. Well, we were sitting at the pastor's house having a meeting, wondering what to do about the finances, and the fireplace was going, and I saw a demon walk out of the fireplace. He was a little guy, and he was handing around a bag of money. I said, guys, there's a demon just walked out of the fireplace, and he's got his hand around the bag of money. I don't know what to do with that. They said, great. In the name of Jesus, we bound that thing, and the money in the church just exploded. Amen. There'd been a demon holding that money. And so that's why you want to be led by the Spirit. Whether it's a phone or whether it's money.
That's right.
Some of you, the devil stole homes from you. You need to get those back in Jesus' name.
Yep.
And you don't do it by whining and crying. At some point, you stand up with the promise of God and say, devil, give it back in Jesus' name.
Yep.
Need to make sure you have the Lord. All right. Now, let's go on. Boy, this is just so full of good stuff. Oh, my. Well, then there was another guy. Verse 22, and these things did Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and won a name along with the three mighty men. And he was more honorable than the 30, but he attained not to the first three. Now, listen to this. And David set him over his guard. Now, let me just remember what Jesus said. It's in Luke, it's chapter, I think, 16. And Jesus said this. He said, you know, if you can't handle money, who's going to entrust to you true spiritual riches? Oh, God, I want a miracle ministry, but I don't believe in tithing. Oh, God, I want to win a lot of people to Christ, but I don't believe. Listen, guys. Money is a test that will determine whether you go on to ministry or not. Ralph Mahoney, a world map, tremendous missionary leader. And he wrote a book called The Making of a Leader. And I've told this story to you many times. But he says, as a young man in Bible college, there were 17 young men in his house. And he said they were all supposed to give their money, you know, at a pool. Every week it was $3 or something like that. And then the people who were responsible that week to cook had some money to cook for 17 people. Hello? You gotten it? And so he said, you know, he remembered one time there were only three of them who were paying consistently. And then he said there was a fire in the neighborhood, and a forest fire, and he said, so the kids were hired to go out and fight the forest fire, and they came back with a lot of money. And, of course, they're all going to missionary school, and he said all of them were, oh, I got to go out and buy a fishing pole, and I got to have a gun, and I got to have a camera, because I'll use it on the mission field. But he said, you know, only three of them continued to pay every week into that account to see who would, you know, to feed the whole 17 of them. He said, you know how many people went to the mission field?
Three.
Yep. Do I need to tell you who the three were? And guys, it's the same thing. If you can't be entrusted, if you're untrustworthy with your money, who will entrust you with true spiritual riches, which is the souls of men and women? My question to you is this. If the Lord were to raise you up in this church and give you an Acts Fellowship or give you a ministry that's broad and God had called you to that, let me ask a question. It says that David put them over his guard. Let me ask you a question, and you need to remember this. As long as I'm here and as long as God has his call on my life, I'm trying to be very honest with you, and I rarely say this kind of thing to you guys. This is my church. I'm responsible. So if you are here, Christina, I appreciate her going. It's my youth group, and she because we've had this conversation, she knows. It's her youth group. She's taking possession of it, but it's my youth group. Amen. Hardly ever show up at the youth group, but it's mine because it's mine. Yeah. She's my assistant in a sense. You see what I'm saying? You, I want you to take possession of my Acts Fellowship. But I just want you to remember, it's mine. Amen. I'm responsible. Will you, in a prayer meeting? You see, I've seen this too often in churches. Somebody comes in and starts something and steals half the church. I've seen it over and over. We've seen it here. I remember that time years ago we had so many. Well, you know, we weren't much bigger than this, actually, at that time. Since then, we shot up, and then we've had some issues. But I remember a guy came into church, and we were in a prayer meeting before church. He started cursing the church. He started cursing you guys. Well, most of you weren't there. Man, I just came unglued. Don't you curse. Don't. They're going to miss God. They're missing God. They're going to, whoa, time out, man. He got on the phone, made a telephone campaign, and took half the church out. Because he was a prophet. I said, well, I'll see you the prophet, and I'm the pastor, and the pastor wins in this case. And he thought he won, but I tell you what, he has no spiritual truth, no spiritual riches. And who knows where he's at today. I trust he's blessed by God somewhere. I don't know where he's at, but here we are. Still running, still serving Jesus, going to run to Poland. Next generation. It's a good thing I'm not going. I'd run these kids out. They just wouldn't know what to do. I always appreciate what David said. We'll sleep when we get home. Oh, man, oh, man, oh, man, oh, man. We got stuff to do, places to go. Okay, all right, so, okay. Whew. Now let me conclude. So the question, you know, these guys made the right choices to follow David, King David. Now, guys, here it is. You need to make the right choice to follow Jesus, whether life's good or bad, whether you're blessed or not blessed, whether you're struggling or you're at ease. You need to say, I'm going to follow Jesus. These guys were loyal. Are you loyal? These guys understood covenant. You know, they were skilled. These guys, I tell you, these men knew how to fight. One thing I regret about my oldest son going to the Marines, I can't wrestle with him anymore. You know, I could Matthew or Jesse, because what do they know? Well, I don't mean that bad. I mean, he outweighs me. He's stronger than I am. But that guy could kill me and not even think about it. I mean, there's a difference here, you know? Because if I catch him wrong, he's liable to do one of those things the Marines do. And it would be instinctive with him, and I'm on the floor. They're skilled. These guys were skilled. Guys, you need to come up at a level. You need to be doing things. If you're a musician, you ought to be expanding your musicianship. Hospitality people ought to be, how can we, what are you going to do when we got 50 people more, 100 people, 200 people? How are we going to expand? What can we do for the children? How can we reach out for the young people? I was dreaming about the kids the other day. Oh, Jesus. Lord, what can we do? What do we, you know? It's just, one of the things that really bugs me. Let me just, kids, I love you. I tell you what, you ought to be on the front row doing this.
That's right.
Shouldn't be bobbing me down here like this.
That's right.
You young kids ought to be down here. You'd go to a rock concert, my goodness.
Yeah.
Well, come down here and let's praise God together.
That's right.
Well, I don't like the music. Well, talk to Miss Patty. She may have a song you like. If you got one that you'll do this to, we'll play it. Okay, all right, enough of that. All right, I love you guys. Say, Mark loves us. He's our pastor. He loves us. All right. Let me tell you something, guys. These people were the real deal. They weren't a Christian con. They were the real deal. They weren't hollow. They rang true. You know, How about the last mighty man? This is so precious. The last, you know who the last mighty man is? Uriah the Hittite. Why? What does Uriah the Hittite say to us? His wife with Bathsheba. David killed one of his own mighty men. Because Uriah the Hittite was not hollow. David called him back with a con. There's hope for us, isn't there?
Yeah.
David called him back with a con. Uriah's wife is pregnant by David. He calls him back from battle. How's it go? Okay, fine. Now, Uriah, go home to your wife, hoping that he would go home. The plan was that they'd sleep together, and then when it starts to show, they say, well, that's what happened the night he came home. Woo-hoo! Except Uriah the Hittite probably had black hair, and the baby had red hair because David had red hair. There was not a hollow bone in Uriah's body. He says, oh, sir, how can I go home to my wife, enjoy a home-cooked meal, enjoy her touch, all night long lay beside her when my comrades in arms are facing battle? And he went to the barracks because he wouldn't shame the badge he was wearing. Are you that kind of a Christian? Or are you hollow? If they cut you, would it be real Christian? Or would it come out whatever? See, these were men of their word. Let me tell you something. How do I know they were men of the word, and how do I know they were praisers? I got to close. Oh, Jesus, help me. You know how I know they were men of the word? Oh, because the sweet singer of Israel was their only entertainment at night. His harp was heard all over the camp of the 400. He's probably training others. They were praisers. And as he was speaking, what was he speaking prophetically? The word. So these men were worshipers. Don't just come in here. You'll never be a mighty man if you come in here. Yeah, man. Okay, the worship's about over. Okay, fine. You want to be a mighty man, you've got to be a worshiper. You've got to be a praiser. You want to be a mighty man, mighty woman, you got to be a person of the Word. You got to spend time in this Word. Are you sure? Yeah, all I got to do is go to Israel and watch the Jewish men dance in the street. Mm-hmm. They're praisers. What do they got to praise about? Everything, because Jehovah is their God. Now, you won't be an overnight instant success. In fact, I wish we could be, but we won't. But you can make right choices today. And you need to steer your life with your tongue. I'm going to follow Jesus my whole life, my whole heart, the best I can. I'm going to fall down. I know I'm going to fall down. But you know what? Though a righteous man fall down, he I tell you, he gets back up. You've got to be faithful in a little. You know, Jesus said to Mary and Joseph, he said, "Come on, folks." Nearly lost him. "Come on, folks. Didn't you know I had to be about my Father's business?" Let me tell you something, guys. We need to be about our Father's business. And the Father's business is people. And let me just say something to you. And I'm going to say it like a dad. And I don't have a collar, or I can say it like a father. No, just kidding. Just kidding. Oh, boo. Okay, listen. I love to hear about being an heir of God. I love to hear that I'm a joint heir with Christ. I love to hear that what is God's is mine. But let me tell you something. Don't talk that way unless you're willing to go to work at the family business. Don't talk that way. If you're not going to work for the Father's business, what right do you have to the inheritance? Now, that doesn't mean you have to be in full-time ministry. But you got to be a full-time Christian. Okay, guys, there's another level. There's another level. And wherever you're at today, there's another level for you of devotion, of service, of giving, of loving, of walking, of sharing your faith. There's another level, and we've got to get there. Now, there's something about mighty men. I know men. I watch my Marine Corps son. There's something about mighty men. They love competition. He's loved competition since he was... I mean, as soon as Matthew was born, he was trying to challenge him to something. That's the way Josh is. He thinks competition. That's just the way he is. He loves it. You know what mighty men do? They love competition. How many did you win this week? And I know this is personal. How much did you give this week? I'm not suggesting you do that. Tell each other. I'm just suggesting. Could we outdo one another in the love of God? Could we outdo one another in how we serve at the church? Could we outdo one another in our devotion to Christ? I hope so. Father, whether it's 400 or 40 or 4,000, I believe you want us to be mighty men and women of valor. Father, I can hear the angelic voice to Gideon, "Hail, thou mighty man of valor." And Father, might it be said over Christ Church International, might it be said over our inner court ministries and the ministries we have, might it be said that we are mighty men and women of Christ, that our love would be extreme, our faith would be extreme, our passion for Christ would be extreme, how we live our lives would be extreme, that others would see that there is and there must be a living God because the way we live our lives. And Father, I thank you that kind of passion will be attended by your presence, and the Lord will give us a mighty victory. And so, Father, we look to you to do these things in us. Lord, I'm helpless unless you do it. I'm helpless to live the Christian life unless you live it in me. And so, Father, we cry out, have your way. We thank you for doing it. And, Lord, I just want to thank you as I look down the road, there are mighty men and women of God with me today. I thank you tomorrow there'll be more.
Amen.
Because we have one intent and one purpose, and that's to go up and make Jesus King and Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And Lord, you're already King and Lord, but for us to declare you being King and Lord, it's our passion. We thank you for it. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Thank you for listening to Christ Church International's podcast. We would like to invite you to come join us sometime soon. We meet Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. at the Byrne Building, 527 Main Street, Longmont, Colorado. You can find out more about our ministry by going to www.christchurchinternational.org or www.innercourt.com. And our mailing address is P.O. Box 2125, Longmont, Colorado, 80502.